Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Let it begin.
Let it begin. Good morning.
It's Monday morning. It's Clissold Park. It's raining a little. Paul is completely rigged. He's got the backpack, which feels to me like it's got weight in it today.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's pretty close to race weight. Yeah, it's got loads of tins of stuff in it.
Yeah, great.
It's about 7 kilograms, yeah.
Good, good.
So just getting to that sort of stage.
And you've got new shoes.
Yeah, new shoes that were white until I went for a run on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to send these off to get Velcroed. So I'm just last couple of runs for the gaiters.
Right.
So I can attach the gaiters to them. But yeah, these
you
are
have to have your shoes souped up for the gaiters.
Yeah, they've got Velcro on them. But these are the ultras that I'm probably going to wear for the race. There's so much different advice about, do you get shoes that are like a size or...
Picture them.
Or even two sizes too big.
Yeah, right. That's complicated, isn't it?
But then some people say do, some don't. I mean, I'm not going to.
No.
Because these are really wide. My feet might expand. I don't think feet get longer.
No.
I think they expand, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We'll see. I'm going to make mistakes. Undoubtedly.
Yeah. And come up
I have to factor in huge mistakes.
And how far out are we now? When do you go? When does it start? Sorry, I keep asking this.
Well, no, I set off on April the 10th.
Right.
I fly to Morocco, and then the race starts on the 14th.
10th and 14th, and it's March 25th now, so you're going, leaving in about a fortnight, basically.
Yeah, I'm
fortnight
sort of...
a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've had various different chats with people, but I mean, but we'll talk about a very funny guy who I chatted to yesterday, but last week I just took my foot off it for a week, because I went for a run with you and then...
Did you just take both feet off it?
I took both feet off the gas, yeah. I went for a run for about 20-odd miles on Monday.
Yes.
With you. I just felt pretty grotty all the way through.
Yeah.
And I could feel my body starting to break a little bit.
Yeah.
So I just took it really easy last week. I rested a bit. I did two of the 10-mile runs. I mean, it's still like 40-odd miles.
Yeah. But I just... In the place you are in the training, I just
stopped doing the back-to-back long runs. And I just... I mean, you're meant to do 3 hard weeks, 1 easy anyway. I've done about 5-6 hard weeks in a row.
Yes.
I just took a week to freshen up. Yeah. And it did work, because I was a bit worried that I was chronically overtrained, you know.
I mean, I think it's two things that are both really good. One, it definitely sounds like the right thing to do to us. But also, it's nice that you felt that you knew it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's good body awareness, isn't it?
I took it off, yeah, because I was a bit worried that you can get to a stage where you're so overtrained... You're a bit messed up for months, you know.
Yeah, and also you arrive at the start line tired.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
And broken, yeah.
So, but I didn't have a drink yesterday. And on the 10-milers, I wasn't wearing a rucksack. I was going... I ran to Hampstead Heath the little circuit that I do and then back, which is 10 miles, I did it in like 85 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
So I wasn't hanging around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it felt really good. I felt really strong.
Giving it a bit of taste.
So I've got a bit of... I've got a bit of strength, but you know.
Well, this should be easy for you today because
we're just going to we're having
do
a little
couple of soft surface loops around Plessel Park.
Yeah, which
I'll
is
tell
great.
You in a bit why I opted for that, and you can see whether it's justified or not. But
no, no, it's
anyway,
perfect. This
is
perfect
where
for me.
We're at. And anything else happen? Well, no, last I had, week beyond the running.
Well, I had a. It was quite busy actually. I had to have an ECG for the Marathon de Sable. And I went.
You sent me a text about ECG, which I didn't understand.
Right, well, I went...
And I thought, sounds like electrocardiogram, but he can't mean that.
Well, well, it's an ECG for your heart, which you have to take on the first day to show them.
Yeah.
And I went, and I've gone private because...
So you can get one.
So I can get one quickly, and also, it's not priority.
Yeah, yeah.
Me doing the MDS, I don't want to strain the...
Health service, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I went and got it. And then she said, there's a little thing here. You've got an enlarged, you know, left chamber.
Right.
Whatever. Ooh. Slightly raised R rate or whatever. She said, I don't think it's much. I think, to be honest, I think it's probably because you're training so much.
Yeah, right.
But she forwarded it onto this guy. And he said, oh, we need to give you an echocardiogram.
Oh, okay. So that, and that's also ECG.
Yeah.
This
so that's
very difficult.
So that's a different sort of echo thing. And that... And the cost of that is like £825.
Great.
At which point I had a heart attack.
ironic.
Yeah, yeah. But I haven't had it yet. I mean, hopefully it's fine. I'm feeling a bit ripped off, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, you want to feel safe, but it feels like they're weaponising fear a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because I sent the original one to a relative who's like a heart specialist in a very... prestigious hospital in Canada, who I'm lucky to know.
Yeah,
she didn't see any problems
at all. No, they weren't.
So it's just a little bit. But along the way, I was sort of raging at the money I'm spending. I think I've found my why.
Of course,
which
a source of rage.
Which is to finish the event so that I don't feel ripped off. and I honestly think that's going to be enough to fuel me.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be enough.
Yeah, I hear it. And also,
because I hate them all so much.
You want to do this event to write the book, and now you're like, I'm not even going to make anybody.
I'm not even making anybody. But it's just like the rage at this constant nonsense.
Yeah.
And I honestly think. That beyond any kind of spiritual blah blah, that might be enough to keep me going.
Yeah, we're here. Well, I'll tell you,
off.
I've got a question that I genuinely want to ask, and also
go on then.
It might really fire that.
Yeah.
It might really stoke that engine. Because are you keeping a tally? And how much money have you spent so far?
It's probably about £7,000 so far.
Oh.
It's just I mean, you know, some of that's obviously a lot of that's the advance I got from the book.
Yeah.
But the money I get paid for the book, I'm not making any money out of this. I mean, listen, first world problems.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lucky that people want me to write a book, and it was me who suggested, let's do this race.
Yeah.
But it annoys me that it's an experience for the rich.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does my head in, and it feeds into that sort of. It feeds into everything. Not everything, but a lot of things that annoy me about running the sort of self-mythologizing, I'm a hero aspects of it, and also
a story you can. It's a way of padding out a story you can tell yourself.
Yeah,
which is and the story is based on a true story.
Yeah,
so you don't need to pad it out.
It's obviously a really hard thing to do.
Yeah,
but we've all chosen it.
Well, but do you think this connects in some way to the? If it doesn't, we don't have to go there. But. Does this connect in your mind to these Barclay marathons?
Well, I quite like Barclay. Barclay seems a bit more sort of maverick and kind of loopsy. The thing about Barclay is, it seems to me that it's for really committed ultra runners.
Yeah.
And they all seem pretty humble. They're not really... The guys I see doing it at the front of the field don't seem to be... self-aggrandizing that much. If anything, the whole thing's really downplayed.
Yeah.
The whole thing about it.
Well, yeah. I was ready to really to just feel like not to diss it. I'm going to diss it a bit, but more like it's just nothing to do with me. And then, oh, total respect to Ultra Demo, had a great run. But
and Jasmine.
Jasmine Paris doing being the first woman to ever do it. And it's just incredible. And there's a story.
Yeah.
You know, that's now we've gotten in from a narrative point of view, because absolute total respect. But the thing about it is, I was thinking, what's my problem with it? And there's two things. One is this sense of a sort of Old Testament God vibe. You know,
right.
It's like, you don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be horrible. You could die.
Yeah.
That just seems old-fashioned to me.
Right.
And the other thing about it is that it changes.
Yeah.
The parameters of what it is are a movable feast.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that kind of reminds me of Formula One. And I'm sure there's listeners who are like, oh, yeah, I love a bit of Formula One. Oh, it's just not a proper sport. Set a bunch of rules, you know. We all know what the rules are for.
I don't know.
We know what the rules are for football, and we know what the rules are for a marathon.
Yeah,
see, I know what the rules are.
I quite like that. I mean,
I can't get on with
it. I think it's.
I recognise that that's a picture of me rather than the picture of Lotte.
Yeah. So I just think it's a sort of different extreme. I know what you mean. I mean, looking for books in the woods and stuff, it's all a bit sort of mysterious and weird, but.
Yeah, and tiresome.
Yeah, but they don't. But the thing that I like about it is that the people who do it are sort of runners.
Yeah, I don't.
They're not, runners.
That's not the bit of it.
They're not obsessed with the gear. Like the MDS thing that's through Maiden is this massive obsession with the gear.
Yeah.
So it sort of feeds into that kind of gearhead hero.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, I think it's a subtle distinction you're making. I'm sure those people have ultimately sorted out their gear at some stage, or have got someone else
sorted out their gear.
And you need the gear.
And also, it doesn't cost much to enter Barclay.
Right.
You just got to get there.
Yeah.
I like
well,
the
there
kind
go.
Of...
that answers our,
I like
our
the...
listeners' question of whether that's the next thing, you know.
Yeah.
That'll be you next year.
Well, I mean, I like the sort of... backwards adventure, sort of lunacy of it.
Yeah.
But I get the idea that there's a sadism to it as well.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a bit odd.
And possibly because, let's be completely honest, I didn't even meet the guy, but we were near him once.
Yeah, Laz.
Didn't like him.
Laz.
Yeah, that'll go a long way.
Yeah, he's a bit ornery, isn't he? But I'm sort of fascinated by that culture. But I know what you mean. I'm really interested in.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Harvey Lewis and all that mob. They're just the way they speak about running is so.
Yeah.
It's so lovely.
No,
so
my diss is absolutely not on the runners.
Yeah,
they're great. But then, that's ultimately, I think that abides, doesn't it? That a really deep, committed distance runner. We'll always find some kind of monkishness.
Yes, yeah,
which is why it would be absolutely fantastic if you absolutely conquer the MDS because you're livid about how much it costs.
but there's a funny little tale yesterday, and then we'll get onto your week's shenanigans.
Tell us about
well, because everyone's there's a massive sort of borderline fear narrative about Marathon des Sables as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's really, really hot, so you've got to train in the heat. Obviously, it's quite a long way, so don't set off too fast.
Yeah.
You know, this sense... And I think that feeds into the sense of heroism and, you know, it's all really, really, really difficult, which it undoubtedly is.
Yeah.
But I...
I was talking to Heather Small about it, and she said, you've got to search for the hero inside yourself.
Yeah, I'll have a little look for that.
not that.
But it's, the thing about the hero inside myself is it's very tight, man.
I'm inside, I'm not coming out.
Very resentful individual.
Search for the matches inside yourself. Yeah. See if you still got some money underneath it.
Yeah.
You're not having
but
it.
So I chatted to this guy yesterday. You know, like you've got a train walking and all that sort of stuff.
Yep. Has anyone given you pressure about poles? Because I know you said no poles for you.
I'm not having poles, no. I mean, to be honest, I haven't. But
when you should have those?
Yeah.
If you ever do the pole to pole.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But I chatted to this guy yesterday, and he was like, he'd done loads of ultras. And he said, don't worry about the heat. Yes, I said, I'm worried about, I can't be bothered to spend money on heat chambers, but I might go into saunas. He said, oh, don't worry about the heat. I didn't do any of that. Don't worry about it. It's an unknown. I don't even know whether it's useful anyway.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, you should be running it with your fitness. You should be running it. You want to be racing it. Set off the first 2 days fast as you can and just see how you go. And I was like, oh, this is a refreshing.
Nice to get that angle, yeah.
A refreshing character. But then the punchline is, I said to him, how did you find the long day? Because the long day's the big one, you know, yeah, the 52-miler in the middle.
Better prepare yourself for that.
And he said, oh, I had gastric flu. He said, I went off too fast in the first 2 days and ended up with heat stroke. everything, all the advice he'd given was completely scuppered by his own experience. But he didn't seem to see the disconnect. So I left him to it. He was fine.
This is what I would have told myself before I did it.
Yeah. Set off really fast. Don't worry about the heat. Get gastric flu from heat stroke because I overcooked it. But I think somewhere in the middle...
Yeah, well, I'll find it
because I'm coming at it from a runner's perspective as opposed to an adventure.
It's just a fresh take, isn't it? Look at these deer. And the kids looking at the deer. See this buck there or the stag? Looking good.
Nice.
What a spring like in there. Nice.
Yeah, because I'm coming to it as a runner as opposed to like an adventure sort of walker.
Yeah, yeah.
Which a lot of people come at it from that angle.
Yeah, we've seen this. So. Connection, you know, it's an ultra thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you got a lot of people run walking. I mean, I think it's a natural function of the fact that it doesn't really matter how fast you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
It's just sensible to run and walk, and that's particularly connected to where your fitness is at,
yes,
what your experience is, and so on.
Of course,
we've seen people, absolute monsters, doing threshold ultra work, and just, you know. Running and walking it.
Yeah, of course. And of course, I will be running and walking, but he said a lot of people... He said, it started off, I was running for the first half an hour, I looked back, and I was just way in front of this huge mound of people walking.
Yeah.
And it's... I think my primary mindset is run.
Yeah.
And is there... But of course, I'll be walking. You know,
is there a rule? I mean, is it... Like, walk the hills, is there a sense that you just run for a bit, walk for a bit?
Well, I mean, there's some things that you can't run up. There's like Jebel sort of mountainous regions that you can't run up.
Yeah.
And then the dunes you might as well walk up. But you said there's a lot of it on the surface is quite hard and fast and flat.
Yeah.
He said, well, you want to be racing down there with your gastric flu.
I mean, the racing...
Puking while you do it.
The use of the word racing sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Even before is this
I'm not going to be mentally racing, but by the same token, there is that sense of the quicker you do it, the faster it's done sort of thing.
Yeah, that's always
the less time you're out in the sun sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
And have you watched Dune and Dune 2? Because I think that's the most important stuff.
I need to do that, don't I?
Yeah, that's key.
For prep.
If you don't do that, you're not going to know what you're doing. Ask yourself, what would Chalamet do?
Yeah.
And the answer is absolutely reinforce colonial imperialism and make it look like entertainment.
I'll have a little look at that one.
Yeah, I said it.
I'll have a little look at that one. But I'm not going to get into the mental state of like... racing the last 2 miles of the first day sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's a long week. Yep.
So, but, you know, we'll wait and see about, you know.
It's exciting though, isn't it?
God knows what's going to happen. It is exciting, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing your haircut.
It's going to be pretty severe.
He always gets himself shorn before a big race.
It's going to be pretty severe, yeah.
And maybe because this one's special, you could get him to do the whole beeswax and razor and just take the eyebrows as well. Cue ball this bad boy.
And I'm raising a bit of money for Recovery Runners, which is going well.
Yeah,
so
good.
Nice. So it's all building a pace. But I had another bit of, as well as the ECG 800 quid drama.
Yeah.
I had an experience as a school governor. I was involved in a meeting about a kid getting excluded from school, permanently excluded.
Right.
And it was really intense.
I can imagine.
And the parent was there, lasted about 3 hours. I was just way out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it and it was fine, but the headmaster was there and it was just really intense and emotional. And
yeah.
It was just awful, really.
Not the kind of thing you're involved in.
So it's just quite draining.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a funny little week.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, mate? What's been going on?
Well, I had a funny little week too. I got to... So we last ran on Monday.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Tuesday morning, Julia woke up. She said, I've got really bad stomach cramps, really bad.
Right.
And I was like, well,
oh,
Colin's sick. So she emailed work and didn't go.
Right.
This is huge.
Yeah.
I don't think she's had a day of sick since she got that job.
Right.
You know, she's just not.
She doesn't do that.
She doesn't go to work unless she can't go
yeah,
to
yeah,
work.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wish I could stick around and help. But it kind of, interestingly, I was quite useless. I really wanted to help.
Right.
But she was like, I just don't know what you can do for me. And,
right.
You know, and, ow, it's hurting. Leave me alone for a minute so I can just do some deep breathing.
Right.
Wow. So I was like, okay. Oh, and also, talking tightness, you know, as you know, I had a deep run of gigs. I've been away a lot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite over. I had a gig right. in Belfast on Tuesday.
Ooh.
Legendary Belfast Empire.
Yes.
And then a big charity gig for Great Ormond Street
right
up at Ali Pali on Wednesday
right
anyway so I left about 9:30 Tuesday morning. I think at this point we both subconsciously assumed that Julia would just be a bit better by lunchtime, you know. She didn't get better.
Oh dear.
And I was just all the time thinking, oh my goodness, I should so have pulled this gig, and now I've sent myself like literally out of the country.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
She, sure enough, yeah, got worse and worse. So she's going to have to go to the doctors. She really wasn't well enough to go to the doctors.
Ooh.
Dragged herself up to the doctors. They said, yeah, it's appendicitis.
Oh, wow.
You should go to A&E in an ambulance, except the ambulance will take 3 hours.
Right.
She got a taxi. Taxi wouldn't leave the... couldn't get out of the doctor's car park because he'd messed up the security gate. She's in the back of the taxi going, could you... sort it out!
What is this nonsense?
I don't think she ever said.
My goodness. Yeah.
So then, here's me.
So I mean, a potentially very dangerous situation.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. She really had to...
My brother had that. He nearly died. I mean, it's
dangerous. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, it's really dangerous.
So
yeah.
She went to... she got to hospital. She signed her in to... You know, checked her in the middle of the night and got her on the list for surgery.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm in Belfast. Hi!
Not an easy place to be on your own as well either when you're better half's in hospital.
No,
do you
no,
know what I mean? It's
just, I had all kinds of little things going on
yeah.
on my side of the
yeah.
draw, and I'm just thinking, how dare you concern yourself about anything, little or small, little or big at this stage?
All right, mate.
You know, there's just I just felt so useless and impotent
yeah.
and unimportant. It was
yeah,
I was annoying
yeah, yeah.
myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, and and she, I was trying to get back to her the next day. Also, I always had it in my head, you know, this useless guilt, really, of not being there.
Yeah. Because it doesn't serve any purpose.
Doesn't serve any purpose.
You're not there.
And,
you can't
she was taking control of it. And this is the bit where it sounds like I'm letting myself off. And I don't want that at all. But there was a sense that she simultaneously only she could fix it. And me not being there was making her... have to by
right.
necessity step up
right.
and get herself to hospital and stuff. You know.
Can we get on the back?
Yeah, let's do yeah. it. And if I'd... I meant to... Oh, we have to go again. There's a tree back there I keep meaning to get a picture of. That's twice now I've missed it, Paul. Twice! As I say, I can get quite upset about unimportant things. You know, if she had me there, she probably would have been... just absolutely broken down in pain and tears, and I'd been going
yeah.
whereas she was like, I've
she
got
had
to take
to do
this
it.
Thing
yeah,
on
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, morning magpie. So on Wednesday I was really hoping to see her and really just spinning off the just having a bit of a tough moment mentally
yeah
with not being on the scene for this thing, and but she kind of went into surgery as I landed in the UK.
Right.
And then I basically had to go straight to this charity gig. I mean, it's so...
That's really stressful, yeah.
But and I had a big week professionally last week, except I didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It was a charity gig with people I used to know for our industry, with
yeah.
people who are much more famous than me.
Yeah.
And last week, my House of Games was repeated every day.
Yeah.
And just all of that. Well, all of that is not only a waste, it's just nothing. It's nothing. You don't
yeah.
mean anything. You know what I mean?
It's comparative, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah. So another gig, I thought, what am I doing here? And then I went home. She still, so I didn't see her till Thursday.
Right.
you know, 2 days into this major drama, I just, as I say,
yeah, that's tough, man.
I feel like I'm doing the
how did it go
therapy
the
on it here, but as soon as I saw her, I realised how strong she is and how fine she was, even though she's not fine at all.
Right.
And that just, I just needed to see her, you know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have gotten away. Anyway, it went well.
Right.
And she went back to the thing, but it's like, I think it seems to be with all surgery, and like you were saying about the chap with the spike, NHS and everything, you know, there's just an implication, oh yeah, do the surgery and then you can go home, you know.
Yeah, straight away.
She's so not well.
Yeah.
In recovery. So, and so it was Thursday. I think she came home. The operation was on Wednesday. I saw her on Thursday and Friday. Eventually she was home late Friday night, but very much on the understanding that she's coming home to carry on convalescing at home, you know?
Yeah.
So she's completely signed off and pretty much, incapacitated at home.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm looking after her as best I can. And it's intense.
Just all a bit intense, yeah.
Hell of a week. So even now, I've got two reasons why we're in Clissold Park. One is so I can get home quick to,
yeah,
in case she needs anything.
To tend.
Help
her
out. The other one is that I was also really worried, saying to her on Saturday, got this blue in the Hampton Court half marathon on Sunday morning.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not that guy. I don't want to say, listen, darling, I hope you feel better. I've got this half marathon to do.
Yeah.
It was at a very different level. I really didn't want to do it. I thought, if I don't... I didn't run much last week, obviously.
Right.
If I don't do this half, I'm not going to be ready for Brighton.
You'll be out of shape for Brighton. Yeah.
So, which I've just confirmed my place in, because it's a celebrity place, of course, because, you know, I'm Rob Deering. But I still had to pay for it. And when they gave it to me, I couldn't afford it.
Right.
So there we go, that's a fun.
So it's been a bit tense, yeah.
Anyway, I had it's quite, from a running point of view, it ends quite well. Because I had this thing yesterday morning, got up really early. I was ready to go to Hampton Court, setting up all Judas medicine and...
What, you had the half marathon yesterday?
Yesterday morning.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I thought we were gone. Yeah.
So I got up at like 6 in the morning.
So we got a race report?
Well, yes and no.
Okay, cool. Okay.
No.
Right.
Because at 7 a.m. when it was time to leave, and I was neither physically nor emotionally ready to leave.
Yeah.
Not only did I not want to leave my poorly wife, I needed to go to the toilet 2 or 3 more times.
Right.
Anyway, I just suddenly had this fantastic clear thought, which is that, yes, you need to run half a marathon today.
But you
do
don't
not
have to
need
do
to
it.
Go to West London. Duh!
That's
great. Was when I got that.
Good for you.
And I, at this moment, I'd like to just do a little shout out to excellent run through. I love run through events.
I've
enjoyed every one I've done. There's a vibe there that really works for me, for us, if I might say. And so thank them. And also I'd like to say, you're welcome, because fate means that my last 2, maybe 3 run-through events, I've just bought and paid for a place and they've not turned up. So take that money,
take
it back in.
Little contribution, yeah.
You're welcome. It's tight day.
Yeah.
It's tight day. Do you know what, though?
Go on, man.
I think I've spent nearly... I think I've spent over £50 on that pool.
Ah!
Can you imagine how that would feel?
The knife to the heart. It's crawling up dunes. Crawling up sand dunes on the long day. You'll see. I'll show you. Everyone talks about sprint, you know, going to finishing the race and like hugging the French race director in tears of gratitude and happiness. And I'll be there going, your ribs is off, mate.
Give us some cash right now.
Criminal. J'accuse.
Hey, Frank, give me some francs.
Get dragged away.
J'accuse.
I don't know. Who was that guy?
Seemed to have enjoyed himself. So,
So you just ran. You went for a run anyway. Yesterday.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, in context of everything I've just said, I'm embarrassed to even lay it out for you. But hey, it's running commentary, so let's do this.
Yeah, of course.
I ended up sort of accidentally almost Yeah, pretty much accidentally running off exactly when I would have run off in Hampton Court, about 9 a.m. Right.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is marathon, half marathon time.
Yeah.
And is not when I normally run. So that was good training.
Yeah.
And I did, this was the kind of deliberate bit. I said to myself, I'm going to go down through de Beauvoir to Victoria Park.
Yeah.
And go round it three times and come back.
Right.
And I know that two things about that were going to make it good. One, it starts slightly downhill.
Yeah.
So it tends to set me off at a bit of a lick.
Yeah.
And two, I deliberately included three laps of the park because I knew that would be a bit intense.
Right.
You know me, I'm not much of a repetition.
Keep it sort of...
pressure.
Keep it regular.
Give it a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And as Michael Caine once said, I'm going to apply a bit of pressure.
Pressure.
Anyway... 9 o'clock, went out. I was on the way down there. I sent a photo of a favourite tree to Julia. And
nice.
As you do. And at that point, I realised that my run measurer was not working.
Right.
It was doing the time, but it wasn't doing the miles.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself almost immediately, I thought, well, that means you have to adhere to your course.
Right.
Because you know that down there and back, three times around the park, oh, look, Robin, is...
oh, nice.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just 13 and a quarter miles.
Right.
Pretty much bang on. So if it's doing the timing, then you can put those numbers in later, you know. And I went down to Victoria Park. As I say, I tend to find pretty good, pretty tempo-ish kind of pace.
Yeah.
And then in Victoria Park, cause of course it was whatever, you know, about 9:30 to... 11 on a Sunday morning.
Right.
So many other runners.
Yeah.
So I mentioned it because it was almost like an event.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, and gradually over time, not all of them because people are on their own journeys and stuff, but you're making some friends.
Yeah.
There was a guy out there in a Parkinson's top who I would guess is running London.
Yeah.
May well be a listener, hello or so. And, you know, we saw each other 6-7 times.
Yeah, it is nice.
And even though every gesture was just some kind of wave, it was a whole story.
It's still something, yeah.
And there was a couple of other people like that. And it really felt like something. And also, in the kind of parkrun style, just finding a little bit of pacing off other people. You know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because, as I say, I knew I was going at a fair lick. And then once I was in there, I had to hold it for the blooming, do we call it, the middle bit of the run. You know?
So you had a solid... You had a solid run out there.
It was a real session.
Yeah.
And then I came back. It's 2.5 miles back. As soon as I came out of the park, I was thinking, it's tough now because I haven't got my crew, I haven't got the coterie. Slight uphills on the way back. And that's the time I missed the race timer most.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was fading. But what I didn't know is to what extent that was actually affecting my pace.
Right.
Because I was trying really hard to hold.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
No one knows if it was psychological or I was actually slowing down dramatically.
Right.
And no one will ever know. But when I got back, I did the maths on it. And averaging out 8:20 miles.
That's great.
So.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, it was as close to running like an event as you can... imagine,
that's
you know.
That's fast, that's a fast run.
And I felt it as well. I did. Came back and did all my stretches and stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've...
You've had a run there.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, and I feel
so today, like
I need
that's,
to recover today.
That's why we're just doing a little...
Yeah.
A little gentle. And it suits me running soft. I'm doing 3 hours with the weighted rucksack today, and then I'm looking for 5 or 6 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just... I'm looking at probably... A proper sort of, probably like a 10-day taper.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I know you meant to do 3 weeks. I haven't quite done the... It's a bit like Manchester.
Yeah.
I'm sort of listening to my body a bit. I'm not going to go mental over the next week or so, but I'm going to continue fairly hard training.
Yeah.
And then just really, because the last few days you're in Morocco, so you're not running anyway.
You're just partying.
Well, you just...
You're at the casino till
dawn.
Yeah. Bow tie undone. Taking Benzedrine so
play
you can
it again.
Play cards with
play
them.
Play it again, Paul. But
we'll always have Paris.
Yeah. We'll always have no wedge left after the amount this has cost.
You're going to Paris, you know what it costs to go to Paris, Ingrid.
Echocardiogram. But yeah. I'll be so angry. It'll affect the results.
Yeah. It's but funny also to think of the
all
way
they're trying to do is save my life.
And
you
also
know?
What you want is this Vassos energy of finishing it and just feeling like you're in a bubble of glory and joy for 6 weeks.
Well, the relief of not having to spend any more money will just be great.
Okay, but just be careful not to die. I do think there's some of our listeners are going, ah, I believe the doctor!
How long does this...
Don't go! But we're being very blasé about it.
But, I mean, it's one of those things with running, isn't it? It's just like, we obviously do stress our hearts.
Yeah.
And ultras, because it's low impact and it's you're rarely sort of out of breath like you are in marathons.
It's harder to read, isn't it?
You're still stressing your heart, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But my idea is the amount of running I've done in the past, the amount of fast running for long distances I've done in the past.
Yep.
I don't know.
Also,
it feels all right, my heart.
I think on the one hand, you have to keep... Oh, rats. Lovely, that's Ooh, nice.
Rats!
A couple of rats. Oh, hazel rats. Yeah. Running on the path and scary and disgusting.
That was a bit freaky, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was a rodent moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they're having a park run?
I think they're... Well, this isn't...
You forgot my barcode.
We should put some slow down, boxes of plants because this is a bit of a rat run.
Rats.
Rat run.
Rats are priority.
Oh, I'm taking a photo here. Running.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Well, no, of course, because Barclay had five finishes this year, they'll make it harder next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what kind of game is that? Well, you managed to finish it. We're going to change it. I can't work with that. Yeah, so two things.
Go on, then.
One, I think that you do have to remember to remember your Race to the Stones experience.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I also think that, from my perspective, I'm sure that you find from here that if you do that, you'll see that that you're in a different place physically.
Yeah, yeah.
To how you were, because you've really been training. So
yeah,
the news is good, really.
But it's still worth remembering. I mean, Race of the Stones was, you know, a comedic chapter to the book.
Yeah.
About, you know, delusion, really.
Yeah.
I'm better trained, but I'm still not as well trained as I could be.
Yeah.
I'm not as well trained as some people out there, but a lot of people, I'm sure, just do it for the run and aren't particularly that fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's easy to... He's getting the balance right, isn't it? A lot of.
It's easy to assume that the highest bar you can imagine is where everyone else is.
Yes, and they often are. It's like you with Race of the Stones. with your back-to-back runs and stuff.
Yeah.
You ended up in the top, what percentage of racers fans?
Yeah, probably 20, 10 or 20.
Yeah, you were...
I was up there.
You were up there, weren't you?
And it wasn't what we expected.
No,
at
because...
all. That's right.
Because a lot of people, you know, walk more than they run. And are not as good, are not as fit and fast as we are.
That's right. And on the other hand,
but they've
you
got
have
all
to
the
set
kit.
Those high standards for yourself.
Yeah.
Look at these daffodils over here.
They're beautiful,
it's
yeah.
really good. It's a two-tone sort of white, yellow bank. It's just gorgeous.
I had a funny experience on Saturday. I was driving to a gig in Rochester in my diary.
Yeah.
On the way there, I got a text from a guy called Graham saying, are you en route? I rang him. I said, en route where? He said, are you down for a gig in Surbiton?
Right. He said, am I?
I said, awfully sorry, old boy. I'm on my way to Rochester. It's not in the diary.
Yeah.
And then he sent me a series of texts while I'm driving saying, what am I going to do? It's sold out. The second act's not here yet.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's like, there's been a mistake.
Yeah.
Phone the second act, get him to go on first.
Yeah.
Phone the other gigs in the area. Get someone to fill.
Yeah.
It's a long way from ideal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
the fundamental thing is, and
I can't do anything about this.
Can't do anything about it. It's like the yeah. person that you're yeah. talking to
yeah.
is the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's you're like, sending your energy in the wrong direction.
I'd sent an email to my management saying, put this in the diary. They hadn't.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of a shame because that could have bought me a few gels.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to book you anymore.
but the good thing is I went to Rochester, did a gig in the police, in the little Medway Theatre there.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've ever gigged there. It's a beautiful little theatre.
Yeah.
And I got a good old-fashioned encore.
Hey! You don't get that.
It so rarely happens nowadays.
Yeah,
it's because it's not you.
It's just not part
just
of the culture,
cultural
like
thing.
And I wasn't ovations are much bigger these days.
I wasn't pushing for it. I was just sort of, I just did my set and it was good fun.
Excellent.
And it was one of those where they just, they insisted I came back on.
It's one of those where they were all old. So they
yeah,
knew to...
They were a little bit older, yeah, certainly. And, but that cheers you up, doesn't it?
It really does. That was on Saturday, was it, or Friday?
That was Saturday, yeah.
Excellent. Now, how did the gig in Surbiton go?
Oh, it was
message
great.
You at the end of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
It was rubbish!
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I still want to talk
to
you.
Well, I haven't heard from them since.
About
so they obviously,
what happened? I expect
they obviously sorted it out. But what they didn't do, and a note to club promoters, just email to confirm a couple of days before or
always,
on the day.
Every gig.
And then this...
That's right.
And then this gets resolved, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're a small gig.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. That's basics, isn't it?
It is basic. And it
yeah.
sounds like an easy thing to say, but it's all the other gigs do it.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Also, sometimes people go the other way and just confirm a gig. Are you ready for this gig? And you're like, what gig? And you're looking, it's like in 6 weeks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You're just going to have to confirm again, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you know what I did
where were you?
On Friday?
First off, how was Belfast?
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, I know it's tough being there, but...
Well, no, it was nice. It's a good... It was a lovely vibe.
Right.
Some nice people.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with my freaking rig.
Right.
It's just every gig, something goes wrong with it. And yeah. I worked with it a lot when I was away and I fixed it.
Yeah.
And I replaced a couple of things. Me and Rob Rouse thought we'd entirely identified the problem. Anyway, in Belfast, it wasn't a problem in the show.
Right.
Well, it was a problem in the show, actually. I sound checked it. It all worked a treat.
Right.
I got on stage and it just still didn't work.
Right.
And I had to
that's not good.
Work around it during the show.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing, the reverse. That's the one I was thinking about. Ali Pally, it didn't work in the sound check.
Right.
But I got it working for the show. And frankly,
yeah, that's not good.
Once again, remember, I was dealing with all this, just waiting for news about Julius.
Yes, like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's just simultaneously a hassle and nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm very emotional about the thing, you know. I like my rig to just, the thing is, I don't want to
It's very important that it works.
Yeah, and I don't want to be I want it to be just be a part of me. I don't want to be thinking about it. Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It just totally changes the rules of my life. And I just think, I don't think I want to get it fixed. I think, I just don't want to do this.
Right, right.
I can't, you know, it right. just...
Anyway. It leaves you feel a bit hopeless, sort of.
Yeah. Right. I've had a lot of time feeling helpless and impotent the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And and all the time on telly every day last week, and you know,
yeah,
thinking, oh, that's amazing, but just remembering what a big deal it was for me to do that coming out of lockdown stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Watching it and thinking, well, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just a bit of tea time TV that no one's really watching. The people who are watching aren't really watching.
Yeah.
And some of the people who are watching it, really watching it, are kind of angry about it.
Yeah.
Because people on the internet are, you know. Yeah. I just. Anyway. So that's why, here's the thing, and this is, on Friday night, I had to pull my gig.
All right, where were you at?
Because Julia came home from hospital, so I couldn't go at all, but
right.
I never pull gigs. So that was good, that was nice to have one that I had to not do to exercise the demon of not having cancelled any of that midweek stuff when the trouble began.
And what was the gig like at Ali Pali? Who was on?
It was... I was hosting.
All right, okay.
And it was... who was on? Lou Sanders, Sarah Pascoe, Greg Davis...
Right.
Josh Weller and Richard Herry.
So,
and it was in that big room, you know, I think where you saw A Christmas Carol.
Yes, yeah,
so
that's a big room.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was quite nice, really, because it was... it had that vibe of charity gigs we've done, you know, that are smaller than that, let alone my Parkinson's gigs at the comedy store.
Right.
It was also had a similar vibe to when you do like a fundraiser for a primary school. It was just that the organisers and the scene had access to this kind of high end of things because it was an Avalon production.
Yeah, if I was going to say it's that sense felt Avalon. Of kind of
friends and community. And all coming together for a good cause. And the other nice thing about that is that it's great from Great Ormond Street, so everyone knows what a good cause it is.
Yeah.
And as a result, you can just enjoy yourself.
Was it sold out then?
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Nice, nice.
Packed place.
Yeah.
And then the complicated thing in that situation is your big TV stars are always... generally are only there because they're kind of between tours or working up new stuff.
Yeah.
So everyone was very much there to see Greg.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course,
absolutely.
He's massively cynical anyway. Like they're all there to see him. And he's like, well, this is rubbish, isn't it?
What?
I've got nothing.
Right, all right.
I've got a few notes on a bit of paper. But that's great. That's part of the energy, you know.
Yeah. He's a very good actor, isn't he?
Yeah. It's my old... my former manager at Avalon is a good friend.
Yeah.
And has been since we were children, went to school.
Yeah, right.
So it's a kind of variation on the Nepo baby thing.
Yeah.
And he was my agent when I was first a comedian for about 10
Quite
years.
Quite a while, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not for a long time. So seeing him, it was just the whole thing was like, well, it was a very freighted and complicated version of, yes, this is all very nice. What the hell am I doing?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But that's all good.
And it's quite rare for you to host, isn't it? Although you are good at it when you do host.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think that might be why I got booked, because I think that these days, when I do host, it tends to be charity gigs.
Yes, yeah.
Or the other thing I host is like corporates and stuff.
Right.
So I think it's in a certain conversation of a certain size of gig. Or maybe, more twistedly, when I started out, you know, when he was first my manager, I was always comparing. I didn't really do as much music in those days.
So it comes full circle.
Full circle. Full, here we are again.
It's nice to host.
Yeah. I don't mind.
It's
I don't... I do quite a lot of crowd work, like talking to people and getting everyone involved.
Yeah.
But it's quite a lot of group, like getting everyone to doing songs that have got sing-along bits and stuff.
Right.
I don't do contemporary TikTok crowd work.
Yeah.
Where your whole act is just making stuff up based on the front row, you know.
Yeah, and keeping it going until it's as awkward as possible and then someone has a nervous breakdown.
Sacrificing.
And then you clip it, it goes viral.
I mean, you know, and A, that can be really amazing, and B, it has always been a thing.
Yeah.
Someone like Stephen Grant, say, is an expert at that and has been doing it for as long as we've been playing his clubs, you know. But it's just, but yeah, so it's interesting to think of me being a, like you said, someone who can compare, because in the modern parlance, I'm not really doing it the way you're supposed to do it, but yeah, I had a lovely time. It's a big room. It was nice to get the music out, you know.
Yeah.
Which I learned into because, I don't know, I wanted to do what I was there to do and to give the energy to the occasion, you know.
Right.
And there were some good callbacks. Oh, Emmanuel Sanubi was on.
Right.
That's right. It's nice to see him.
I've never seen Lou Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen her work.
She's very silly.
Right. Well, that sounds good fun.
Yeah.
Like a bit of silly.
And she was on first, which is a good energy.
Right.
To me, you know, because the thing is, like we're saying, when a thing like that, everyone's absolutely lovely. It's absolutely sold out. Everyone wants to have a good time. You're safe.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good atmosphere. But the risk of that is that people are nice.
Yes.
They're not anarchic or raucous because they do care.
Yeah.
So having me come on and hit it with a bit of music and then have her come on and be...
And break it up a bit.
Just silly.
Yeah.
It was a great way to kick things off. But it was crazy, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, we're comedians, aren't we? So when you're on stage, it does all kind of fall away from you.
Yeah, totally.
I remember the first gig I did...
It's clarity, isn't
after it? Julia was... When Julia was pregnant, I went and did a Edinburgh preview.
Yeah.
So not only was it a gig, it was an hour.
Yeah.
And an hour where I had to, you know, hold a load of new material in my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fine. And when I came off the stage, I walked into the dressing room and it was like I got the news all over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd pushed my real life so far away.
Yes.
Came on stage, walked in the dressing room and thought, we're having a baby!
Yeah. That's a great thing. That is a lovely thing about it, isn't it? Is that it's your self-enclosed space, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You can only have a good gig if you're in the moment.
Yeah.
So it kind of forces you to be, so.
I got in trouble at school. I did something very naughty and I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
And it was just before Christmas. And they were going to send me home.
Right.
Like immediate, you know, if maybe informal, but immediate suspension. And then the drama teacher said, I've got to run through the Christmas play. You can't send him home, we need him. So I did this run through of the Christmas play all the time thinking, oh my God, what are my mum and dad going to say? I'm in so much trouble. And
great run through.
And then after that dress rehearsal of this dog of a show.
Yeah.
It was like back to the head teacher's office, back to trying to phone my mum and dad at work. And I couldn't get to the level of panic I'd been in an hour and a half earlier. I still knew it was awful.
Yeah.
I still got in trouble. It was just that sense that
something else had happened.
Take you to another place. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of course. Those are very specific things to me, but you know what the analogy for that for us and our listeners is? It's a run, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And the deeper a run goes, the more you won't quite be the same person when you're done.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the old MDS I want to chat about in the book. Everyone says, you're not the same person after as you were before.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't mean that entirely financially.
But you won't be in the same bracket. You won't be able to live in the same postcode.
Yeah. But I am interested about that.
Yeah.
See what it reveals.
Must get these properly. No, I think it's really something. We already know the truth of it, and it is also pretty...
You what, mate? I missed that, sorry.
It's... We already know the truth of that, and it does seem fairly simply proportional to the size and challenge of the run.
Yeah.
You know, the further it is, the more you put out there. But it's interesting how we find this catharsis as well. I mean, another thing about it is that I literally feel so obvious, but I hadn't thought until now, is that I found... last week very difficult.
Yeah.
In lots of ways that made me think, shut up, it's not your week to find difficult.
Yeah.
Compared to your poor, poorly wife.
But you still...
And then, of course, I had all my yeses and nos about going out and doing this run yesterday. But honestly, I have never run a self run and pushed it as hard as that, yes, like it was an event.
Yeah.
And I think that some part of me did that deliberately. I was taking a I was taking a pill.
Yeah.
I was working something through, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And just basically putting the tough, complicated emotions of last week to bed.
Yeah.
By putting just my body through the ringer.
Just rinsing it out. Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, in a weird way, feeling much closer to the Brighton Marathon than I was.
Yeah.
Just at a time when you'd think I might be even less committed to it, even less having my head around it, you know. You know,
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, these experiences are distinct, aren't they? And even though your wife's obviously having a really tough time,
she is,
you're still having your own experiences.
Yeah, it's still living.
And
moving on.
How far are you away from Brighton then now? 2 weeks?
2 weeks, 2 weeks yesterday.
Right.
So it's happening.
So that's perfect to get that 13.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. And again, one doesn't want to be presumptuous. It was 13 and a quarter miles.
Yeah.
It was 20 miles. I did it in something under an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think, in terms of, I think if I'd run Hampton Court yesterday, I might have done it in around 1:45.
Yeah.
So that's my model for what I'm going to do in Brighton. And I think it's something really to think about right now, because I know what Brighton is like, i.e. quite tough.
Yeah.
I know what I want from it and from this year.
Yeah.
And I think I need to have a conversation with myself about sensible aims.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a possibility I could do it in about 3:45.
Right.
Which is what I did Yorkshire in.
Yeah.
And remember, in Yorkshire, you know,
You fell off a slightly.
I wasn't at the peak fitness at all.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it is Brighton.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that if I aim to definitely go sub 4, but really make that my aim,
yeah,
I'll have a better run.
I think
less likely
I
to break myself on
I
the back
sort
straight.
Of think so. I think I had a better run in York because I thought, you know, anything under 4 is acceptable.
Yeah.
I didn't really know where I was.
Yeah.
But I thought,
you were in York.
Yeah. Anything under 4 is acceptable.
Yeah.
3:40 would be great. 3:30 would be pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put on the magic shoes.
Yep.
Started floating through. My watch started working. Stopped working about 10 miles. So yes. I was just running off the fields. I was basically being chased by the sub 3:30 pace of the
whole
race.
You were running 10 feet off the field.
Yeah. And I was... And so you're constantly in the mode of surprising yourself a little bit from low expectations.
Yeah, that's right.
That feels better than...
It's important to...
Than starting a little bit under the cosh, you know.
Yeah.
Especially as for you, it's all about the 100K this year.
Yeah, that's
sort
right.
Sort of, at least the first part
Certainly
of the year.
Certainly until I've done that.
Yes, the first part of the year is.
Yeah. No, and I also, as I said that to you just now, I remember I have done 3:45 marathons. I've done 4:30 marathons.
Yeah.
And 4:15 marathons, and I've done... You know, a fair amount of 3:30, 3:35-ish ones.
Yeah.
I would say, in terms of the kind of the bump of what I was intending, that I should either be thinking 3:35 or 3:55.
Right.
That 3:45 is the limp in. Is like the, on a guitar, it's the bump between the pickups.
Right.
The hardest one to find.
Yeah.
Because it's not going, it's not flat out full fitness.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's too fast. To,
but it's
to
not.
Tempo it, you know?
Yeah.
Because, of course, I totally, people who are listening to this freaking out, I get that this is all. If I can run a 3:55 marathon in Brighton, that won't be nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a run, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all part of the prep for the 100K.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a long way.
Yeah.
And it's of course, as you've said.
Yeah. On the other hand, that is the thing. It's the third. I suppose that's the ultimate question, is that I'm not running it for time. I want to run it for to be my best Brighton.
Right.
And as such, I want to run it steady.
Yeah.
And come in feeling strong.
Because it can break people, can't it, Brighton?
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think I should be aiming for in this last 2 weeks? Can we stop?
I think
Are we stopping now? Do you want
yeah,
to stop?
Well, okay. I'll tell you, the only thing is, we always stop and have a coffee, and it's there's no cafe.
No, we can stop for a bit. For,
well, do you want to run back to the other cafe? Where is the
cafe?
I'll show you. Let's
carry
on.
Oh, yeah, well, the cafe on the corner there.
Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do that.
So, sorry to...
I think you should aim for four.
Yeah.
And just treat it as... A good solid training run.
Yes.
And try and enjoy it and feel like when you finish that maybe you could have run faster.
Yeah.
I think this year...
I agree. I think at the very beginning it is interesting because at the beginning of Brighton Marathon is there's three things going on. It's cold.
Right.
It's... of course, it's very easy to get caught up with people who are going really fast.
Yeah.
And it's kind of complicated and hilly.
Right.
So you can really burn a lot of energy in that first kind of hour, in the first 10K.
You're going to really
go, wee-hee!
That's interesting.
I'm here in Brighton, I'm having a good time. Ah!
So
I think if I just make sure that...
Just don't overcook
like the reverse
it, as my mate said yesterday. Yeah.
Stay in my own training run. And then, you know, just try and go steady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Because for us, I think our fast marathon this year... Which is a very stressful thing to undertake, a fast marathon.
Yes.
Is York. All roads lead to York.
The good thing is I don't need to be as angry as you to run a fast marathon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the 3:30 this year wasn't anger-based at all, actually.
No, no.
He was more sort of surprise.
No, I was thinking more of
surprise-based. But yeah, the 2:59 was, yeah. Even though I got him for free. I was angry about something else. And if you... And the first part of the year up to the 100K is all about strength.
Yeah.
And sort of redefining it for you so that 26 doesn't feel like that long a distance.
That's really key,
And that's when you'll...
You're right.
And then get a bit quicker over the summer.
That was the idea,
wasn't
it? We'll
do a few 10Ks and 5Ks.
To get to this event thinking, this is within my power.
Yeah.
And if I run, you know, if I run as fast a half marathon as I can in the first half... Then when I come back along the waterfront from Hove to Brighton at the end, I won't be thinking, this is within my power.
Yeah, totally.
I'll be thinking, keep going, my hands feel funny.
Yeah, totally.
If previous experience is anything to go by.
Yeah,
what's wrong with my hands? I should stop running.
So we're going to that cafe, are we?
It's there.
Oh, it's there. All right.
Yes.
So that's it.
Just a couple of weeks. It's an exciting couple of weeks.
It is exciting, yeah.
Hey, amazing season, loads of people doing huge runs. Also, we've got some more great interviews coming in. Paul got a lovely interview, really good, really inspiring interview, and full disclosure, I literally deleted it.
Never mind, we'll just do it again.
Apologies though.
But I'll have to do it after.
Apologies to you and to Pete.
Yeah, Pete Cooper.
Yeah.
We'll have to do it after MDS, actually.
But there are more. That's not the only one. And as long as Pete can forgive us, we'll do that again. But and there's other great interviews coming in.
I've been trying to gently harass Camille Heron, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen. We're DMing, and it's all very friendly.
Yeah, and it might have to be like a Zoom thing. But
yeah, I just think she's a little bit... out of my league.
She's still recovering though as well, isn't she?
Yeah, she's still recovering from the Lululemon further.
She basically names whatever food she says, I'm having my recovery tacos.
Cheese.
We're on the recovery
She's in the cheese phase.
Accompanied by a recovery.
No, she's incredible. And the finish from old Jasmine on the Barclay is pretty intense, isn't
it?
Yeah, I
tried to interview her on the finish line, actually.
It's incredible.
She wouldn't talk
to
me.
Oh, running commentary. Oh, you're a bit tired.
Why won't you talk to me, Jasmine? So, and do subscribe, please, and listen to those interviews. There's loads, anyway, if you haven't subscribed yet, there's a whole raft of great interviews going right back to Zoe talking to Brighton before Christmas. And also, you get your episodes early and other advantages.
Oh, yeah.
With more and more subscribers, and we like that.
And
subscribe and become a fan for those advantages.
And you get to contribute to my echo caddy.
It's important. You've heard
to my life, that, to know. My longevity, my physical survival.
Yeah, and also, more indirectly, my poorly wife needs me to be earning even when I cancel gigs. So, look, just subscribe, all right?
Rob Deering. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.